Welcome to the Electric Drum here on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and I'm here with the king of the clubs, Herman Ham, in the building. What's up, Herman?
What's going on, man? I haven't heard that title in a long time. That was back in my promoted days, king of clubs.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's break it down. Where are you from?
Yo, born and raised. So I always say born and raised, even though I probably came to New Haven at maybe 4 or 5 years old. You know, I was born in Huntington, but I always just claim New Haven because I've been here 4 or 5 years old, raised in the Hill neighborhood right across the street from good old Yale, New Haven Hospital emergency room. I grew up on Davenport and Vernon. So New Haven has always been it for me. I rep Elm City to the fullest.
But you weren't, were you in the streets as much, and what kept you away from the streets or saved you from it?
So let me tell you, you know, your idols, I look up to people, and I had a lot of DJs, people in the music business. I loved the party. I was going to clubs before I was 21. So I had my oldest sister, who they used to call a New Yorker Gwen. She was the one in the Dapper Dan with all the Gucci on. And I don't know, I think I'm going to be honest. What probably saved me from getting into a lot of things is her. She was very popular. A lot of people knew her. So, you know, I kind of was like, everybody knew me as, oh, that's Gwen's little brother. That was my title, you know? And then, you know, I went from there. But, you know, New Haven, just born and raised and, you know, just, you know, never got into any drama, was cool with everybody, never burned bridges. So, you know, this is my roots here, New Haven.
What schools do you go to?
I went to Welch Annex. I went to Roberto Clemente Middle School. I graduated from Hill House, class of 87. Shout out to Hill House High School. So, yeah, but, you know, went to school here. When I moved off later on in life to Norwalk. I went to Catherine Gibbs College, took up some computer technical support. But other than that, all my schooling's right here in New Haven, all my friends, you know. So this is it for me here.
How was your high school experience?
High school, man, I was mischievous in high school. So, you know, I've always followed and been involved in a lot of the trends. You know, rest in peace to my man, Steezo E. You know, I used to be in a breakdancing club. So, I put my video on Facebook a few months ago. People were cracking up. So I was into breakdancing. I was into graffiti. Me and my boy Dulio, we had this crew, TSB. So during that high school era, I was into graffiti, breakdancing, and just loving hip hop and music and, you know, and probably chasing, you know, a couple of skirts back then. You know, I was young, you know, so, you know, that was me, man. It was, you know, that was my thing.
What were some of your favorite artists back then?
Oh, I mean, you know, the LL Cool J's, the Run DMC's, you know, Biz Markie, God rest him. Big Daddy Kane. Big Daddy Kane has a kid, you know, by my people, the Boyd family. You know, he has a, you know, son by them who live right here in New Haven. He used to come down and hang in Church Street South, well, you know, the jungle. So, you know, a lot of them artists I grew up on, you know, Stethasonic, you know, Public Enemy. You know, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you've been in the hip hop culture. You was in it early on in the early days.
Yeah, I had a love for it. I never thought to be involved in it besides promoting. I was a big promoter. I promoted parties. Never thought to be involved in music, but love music. I mean, back in, I'm talking like Stephanie Mills and Chaka Khan, like not even just hip hop. I love R&B. That's all I really listen to at home is R&B music.
You guys into R&B music?
Yeah, yo, I love R&B. Like, when I'm home, I got a certain zone. I want to relax. You know, I play hip hop and, you know, all this other stuff when I'm out at clubs. But, you know, I love me some R&B. I sit home, I got my Anita Baker on, Maxwell. Yeah, I love just cooling out. So even back in the day, I just loved, you know, SOS and you know, all the bands like that who came out, Mint Condition, you know, which wasn't out way back then. But, you know, I love the live bands. You know, I just love music in a whole. But R&B is, man, I mean, it's kind of tough to even weigh it out. I mean, I got such a love for R&B. You know, I'm deep into R&B music, too.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. I mean, growing up, of course, There's Boys to Men. I mean,
but yeah, you're Boys to Men, New Edition.
New Edition, all these, yeah. All these. You Troop. All, Troop. You're aging yourself.
Now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was the transition between being a fan of R&B
okay.
and actually getting, you know, what's...
Okay, so I'm just trying to think. Like I said, I was going to clubs before I was even 21. Now, your people always thought I was older. You know, I was slipping into clubs. I used to go to... was Van Dome now, but Montego Bay, Brick and Wood, Cat Club, all of these spots I used to go to. And I used to just love that scene. And I don't know, I just always wanted to be involved in it. So one day I said, look, you know, I'm going to start hiring DJs and I'm going to bring them here and start throwing parties. So that's what I did. I started throwing parties. I used to have some of the classic joints back then, classic parties, even to the point where Bismarck, he was cool with my sister. I was cool with Bismarck. I used to hang out in Long Island with him. I got older pictures of me and him. I brought him down here to New Haven. He probably did one of his first shows, probably was with me at a place called Planet X. It's right over where, say, where Domino's Pizza. Mm-hmm. There used to be a place called Planet X there. So I used to do parties, and I actually bought Bismarck. Like after his whole being Bismarcky and a rapper, mm-hmm. he actually came near and DJed. And then after that, I think we had got him a gig at the Yale Students of Arts down at the Yale building. So I had Bismarck here way back in the day. But I would hire a lot of Connecticut DJs and just throw parties. So I would do a lot of parties in New Haven, and that's where King of Clubs came apart. Everybody was like, man, you know, you're doing a lot of nice parties. I used to, my best run with parties was a spot. It changed names a few times. It was Cheetah Club, Club East. It was over on East Street, a couple of blocks mm-hmm. from Van Dome. So I used to do parties there, and I was there for some years. And that's where the birth of a lot of my good parties came from. Now, it was a nice club. I used to have the Grand Wizard Stevie D, the great Doc P. They started it, you know, Juan Castillo, one year, he knew I was, you know, doing parties. And he said, you know, I want you to check my boys out. And I'm like, who? You know, and I remember them from the radio. And they said, yeah, my boys, you know, Stevie D and Doc P. And I contacted them, and they did a party for me. And it just went from there. Kind of, I started using them at a lot of, like Stevie D, I was using him as like a resident DJ. Every party I do, it was Stevie. That was it. It was and Stevie. Even back to when I said, you know, Four Promoters Entertainment, I had, you know, a crew called Four Promoters Entertainment. Me, Dexter from Dexter's Barbershop, Cashmere Bromell, rest in peace, and Jason Watts. So we had a crew called Four Promoters Entertainment. And even when we did those parties, Stevie D was like at my hip. It was like, if I'm involved, Stevie D got to be one of the DJs. Mm. You know, yeah, that's my dude, man. Shout out to Stevie D.
You're talking about this. You came about this concept of combining powers with producers and teaming up. I mean, it's a rare concept.
Yeah.
In the music biz altogether, but sometimes the collaboration does work.
Yeah. So I promoted for, I don't know how many years, I was promoting parties for a long time. And at one point I might've been idling, you know, doing something here and there. And like you said, I just seen where there wasn't really that camaraderie with people. It wasn't a connection of, it was like, you know, I'm doing me, he does him. And what was happening was you got holidays like MLK when there's no work on Monday, it's very popular. The day before Thanksgiving, Wednesday. You would see a lot of the promoters. There's one promoter doing something on this side of town. There's one promoter doing something on that side of town. Now you're torn. Where am I going to go? Am I going to go here? Am I going to go there? So I reached out to all three of them, you know, separately and said, hey, let's get on a phone call. Why don't we do something together, combine, and on holidays, New Year's Eve or whatever dates, we just do something together. We split. We'll make a killing because, you know, instead of four people doing separate stuff and you're getting a separate crowd, everybody will be at our party. So it really turned out nice, you know, and we did that for a while. We did that for a while until Cashmere, he was doing some stuff on his own. He had something called Neo Soul Thursdays. Mm. I forgot what he had. He had, you know, gotten sick and passed away, you know, so that was kind of like a hit. On our our clique, and you know, it kind of went from there. But you know, even to this day, you know, Dexter's still doing parties. Jason, you know, has his own restaurant, you know, and he's still doing events, and I'm still doing my thing. So, you know, individually with, you know, everybody's doing stuff, and Jason shows up at my parties. I go support him in his restaurant. I shoot to Dexter's parties when he have his. So we're all still, you know, in support of each other.
Wow. You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. Jose Candelario here with Herman Ham, the king of the clubs. Still doing this thing. It threw parties back in the day. What was the vibe like?
So, good question. The vibe was different. Back in the day, it was old school. Everything was old school. It was, you know, like I said, the LL Cool J's, the Bismarcks. Like nowadays, you know, things change. You got different artists. You know, you got younger artists, you know, you got different types of music. And to me, I just like to adapt. So I stay up with all the artists that are out now because I'm still doing Sweet 16s. So I still have events where they want to hear. And a lot of my Sweet 16s help me stay abreast of what's going on. Because you got kids coming up to you. And let me tell you, out of all my parties I do, Sweet 16s, you got to have some tough skin for a Sweet 16. Those kids aren't playing. They come up to you, they request a song, and you don't even want to look across the room because they looking over at you like, when you gonna put my song on? but let me tell you, I've learned so much from that because I go to a Sweet 16 and I might get 30, 40 requests for songs, like stuff that I never even heard of. You know, you ain't going to a Sweet 16 thinking you getting away with playing Drake or just Lil Wayne. They got the King Vaughn. And they got stuff that, you know, you got to dig deep to find even clean versions. So it's different. You know, back in the day, it was a lot of the old school. And, you know, I used to go to New York and to the Shadow a lot, house music and stuff like that. You know, there's songs that were out then. Let's just say like Sunshine Anderson, Heard It All Before. You put that on now, it's still a banger. I don't really know what 10, 15, 20 years from now, I don't know what is coming out today that is going to be a banger then. So there's a lot of classic joints, man. You put on Sunshine Anderson, you put on, I mean, you can go down the line, Mr. Cheeks, all of that stuff from back then, you know, Vibrant Thing, Q-Tip, you know, put your hands in there, you know, Busta Rhymes. All of them joints are still bangers. So the era was different. To say then to now, it was different. We didn't, you know, everybody was, you know, DJs had 1200s and it was about your artistry. You know, it wasn't just about doing a party. You had to be doing some tricks, scratching behind your back with your chin. You know, you had to really rock a party. It was just different back then. You know, it's a new era, but I just feel you have to roll with it. You can't be left behind. You got to follow the trends. I don't care if you still love what's back in the day. You got to be able to adapt to the trends if you want to stay alive, you know, now, you know, nowadays.
Has the crowd changed at all?
I want to say for me, the crowd doesn't change because I do grown folk events. So I'm still staying to that, you know. I'll do Sweet 16s and I'll do other parties when it comes to Herman Ham group with my DJing. But my parties, if there's younger people there, you ain't even going to know it. Because, I mean, I feel that we can control how the party is. And by doing that, I'm hiring DJs that are playing grown folk music. So even if you're young, like you're not coming in there and twerking and going, you know what I mean, doing all that. You know, you're coming there and it's grown folk music and you create that vibe. And I feel the DJs can control that because it depends on what you're playing or who you're going to attract. Mm. That's how I look at it.
Okay, okay. Now you're DJing. You're developing your style a little bit.
Once again, I got to mention Stevie D. Okay, so Grand Wizard Stevie D. We're doing parties and I'm getting older. And just like I'm getting older, my crowd's getting older. People don't want to go out as much. Maybe I'm going to go to a birthday party. You know, I'll do the couple birthday parties. I'm not going to this club and pay $20 every week. you know, stand in line or no parking downtown or et cetera. You know, this happens. So once again, I was always using Stevie D. So we were doing some parties at a place called Kelly's downtown New Haven. It's now 80 proof. Mm-hmm. So we were doing parties there. And around that time, let's back up a little bit. Club East. When I was doing the parties at Club East, there was Stevie D would be in the main room, but they had another room and they had a second floor. So we had a good crowd, but not to where we're putting 1,000 people to fill every room and upstairs. So I'm like, yo, I really can't afford to be getting multiple DJs when nobody's even in those rooms. So I think it was Stevie's idea where he said, I'm a DJ in this room, and I'll bring one of my other little controllers, another piece of DJ equipment we put in the other room, and we'll just play one of my mixes. So you could either be in the live room with Stevie, or you can go in the other room, and it was just mellow. I think Stevie had some R&B mix or something going, mm-hmm. but he had a, you know, a controller, a small controller in that room. So people would go in there and just chill out. So what happened was he already has enough with setting up the turntables in the room he DJs in. So I think one day he was like, well, just bring this home, bring this other equipment home so you can bring it in every week and just put it in the other room and set it up and play the music, you know, hit the play button and it'll just play. So after doing that enough, I'm bringing the piece of equipment home. So, all right, you know, let me play around on this thing. See what, you know, I know nothing about DJing. I'm just like home playing with it. And I found that it wasn't clicking for me. I wasn't good at all. It was like, I can't figure this out. And, you know, I couldn't figure it out at all. Controllers wasn't my thing. Like Stevie taught me on 1200. So I had to have a spinning platter and controllers were still. So I didn't really get the hang of it. So back then there was something out on the market called the Newmark. It was a Newmark NX7 spinning platter. I said, you know what? I think it was like $1,000, $800. I'm going to go out and let me go out and buy that. It's got a spinning platter. It's similar to the turntables that I play around with. Let me see if that works. And I bought it home. And the thing was, man, it was heavier than your Cadillac. Heavy. I don't even know if that thing might have been 200 pounds. It was because it has a motor in it for the thing to spin. Super heavy. But I bought it home. And man, I just started adapting to, yo, this works. So it was the smaller controller though, Stevie's, that I couldn't really use. And I got this NS7. I started, you know, playing around. And my boy, so Stevie's still my DJ. So Rashawn Langley, you know, who has the live band, that's my boy too. So Rashawn, I go to his shows and he'd be playing and say, hey, y'all, when we're gonna come back, we're taking a break, the band's gonna take. Oop, he had an iPad or something, mm-hmm. play the music. So one day I told him, I said, yo, you know, I'm playing around with this DJ equipment. I got the hard drive from Stevie. Let me come to your gigs and I'll play music in between. So I'm sitting home and I'm going, man, you know, it breaks like 20, 30 minutes. Let me see, this song's 5 minutes, this song's 7 minutes. I'm just putting together like 6-7 songs and I know I can go there and play during the breaks. That's how this really started. I was just playing music in the breaks of Rashawn's sets. So one day, the guy comes up to me, he says, hey, can you do my daughter's Sweet 16? And man, I'm telling you, if I was sweating, like, you don't know what. Because I said yes, but I knew I wasn't a DJ. I said, yeah, I'll do it. And I'm home, and I'm putting all these songs together. I'm listening to every radio station in New York, Connecticut. What are these kids listening to? What am I going to play? It was a nervous feeling. But I went there, did good. The guy loved me. I think he tipped me $100. And I said, man, you know, this might go somewhere. So, you know, one day we're in Kelly's and the crowd's dying down. People are not coming out like they used to. And I don't know, like one week I just told Stevie, it just came to my mind. I said, you know, look, you know, I'm going to talk to the owner. You can DJ here. I think I'm going to start an entertainment company. I said, I think I'm going to start an entertainment company. It happened just like that. I said, I'm going to start an entertainment company. And I wanted Stevie to be the DJ. You know, shout out to Stevie. Great DJ. I learned a lot from Stevie. But the thing is, Stevie is a DJ. He loves to be in the clubs. You know, he want to rock a party. Stevie got that energy. He want to rock a party. So he, you know, like what I was talking, he didn't really want to hear it. He's like, weddings, you know. You know, you're playing slow jazz, you know, like that wasn't really his thing.
You're listening to the Electric Drum here on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario here with Herman Ham. And you are a big fan of Stevie D. I love this. I remember the gloves.
The gloves. He don't go nowhere without them.
He wasn't really into your idea at the time.
Well, at the time, yeah, because he, you know, he loved the club scene. So I got to shout out him for that. He loved the club scene. You know, he's, you know, he wasn't really a wedding DJ into the wedding thing. He wanted to rock the club. So, you know, I still supported him. He supported me. I said, you know, I'm going to talk to the owner. And he just took off and started doing Kelly's on his own. I let, you know, he would DJ. They would pay him. And I went off on this mission. I went off on this mission and said, you know, I want to be a DJ. You know, I want to be a DJ. I you know, and one of my neighbors had an entertainment company, and shout out to Xavier, DJ X. He's the one who guided me into entertainment company. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, these bars ain't paying nothing. You out here, me and my dad, we got an entertainment company. We do weddings. We make this kind of money. We, you know, you got lights and a facade. I knew nothing about this stuff. You know, a facade, uplights, and we put the name on the floor with a gobo. He was teaching me all this stuff. And to where he gave me a whole list of everything him and his dad had. I said, give me a list of everything you and your dad got. I might have went out that time and spent $5,000. The speakers, QSC, I bought everything that him and his dad had, duplicated. So, you know, this shows you some people, you know, he was DJing in New York at the time. But, you know, some people, they are there for you and they're showing you love, because he gave me every single receipt. This is everything me and my dad own. I went out to Guitar Center and started purchasing all these items. And then, it, you know, being popular from doing parties for a long time, it kind of took off, because the people who used to come to my parties were now calling me for weddings, were now calling me for their kids' sweet 16, were calling me saying my mother's turning 90 years old. So I do it all, you know. And throughout the pandemic, I saw where there was a lack of certain things. We were on lockdown. I started doing a gospel show every Sunday on Twitch and on Facebook Live. So I would do a gospel show. So now I got people calling me for church events.
How important is it to just be open to all the music, and how do you retain it?
Okay, so it's right now it's kind of easy for music, because you can go on YouTube, you can go on the internet. You know, it's all over. It was harder back in the day. So once again, you know, it was great for me to have friends like Stevie D. He had gave me his hard drive, so I had one of his hard drives. So I didn't even have to worry about music from the 70s almost to really like the 90s, because it was all on the hard drive. So I had to take off from there and start keeping, you know, downloading music. And, you know, I grew up in like the MTV 80s era. There wasn't even black videos on TV. So I grew up in the, you know, Madonna, Hall & Oates, Cyndi Lauper, you know, all that whole era, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Fleetwood Mac. So I have a love for music. So it's kind of crazy, because now when I'm doing events for different people, I already have that knowledge of music. So if someone, like I had a friend of mine who called me and he was like, you know, I'm getting married. My wife loves country music. I love rock. You know, I kind of want rock and roll, country music. It kind of wasn't a big thing for me, because I kind of grew up in the era where I loved all kinds of music. Mm-hmm. So I was into that whole pop music, top 40. So, you know, to be successful, I mean, there's, you know, everybody has their own formula. Mm-hmm. For me to be successful, I'm into every genre. So, you know, I'm just not in one lane. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can come out, do events for every different ethnic group. You know, I'm doing church events. I DJed for the mayor when Tony Harp was in office. I did mostly all her fundraisers. You know, I do a lot of sorority events, you know. So I just feel you have to be well balanced in music, because otherwise, you know, you're just in one lane. Mm-hmm. You're just in one lane, you know. And for me, it's kind of crazy, because I mean, you know, I'm 54 and I'm still doing Sweet 16s, because they know I'm gonna come there and rock the Sweet 16. They ain't looking at it like, you know, I'm hiring this dude, you know, this old dude don't know what he's doing. I stay on top of everything.
Keeping up with technology and being, let's talk a little bit about being open to knowledge and people teaching you and how important that is, because it's a lost art within the youth to gain knowledge from outside sources.
Right. I will say there was a lot of old school DJs that were open to what I was doing. Because, you know, when I'm coming to this DJ lane, they come from a different era. They were back in the day, crates of records, you know. So I did have a lot of people. I mean, too many to probably name. I mean, that opened up and said, you know, let me teach you this. Let me show you this. So I'm, you know, to go through the names, a lot of DJs. But you got to have that knowledge. I feel you got to learn from people who have done it and know what they're doing. So it ain't that just that they've done it. I got people who were successful at doing it, and I absorbed like a sponge. I didn't think like, oh, you know, that's how they did it back then. I'm gonna do it this way. I absorbed everything people would tell me. Even to the point where, and this was just me, it took a long time before I used the title DJ. A long time. If you notice, my company is Herman Ham Group. Mm-hmm. I've used Herman Ham Group for a long time. It never was DJ Herman Ham, because I kind of felt there are guys who have grinded and, like I said, turntables and scratching and mixing. And I was looking at it like, you know, I didn't come up in that era as far as being a DJ. You know, I was promoting back then, but I kind of just went with the Herman Ham Group because I felt I'm just going and doing some weddings and playing some music. I'm not really taking up a title of DJ. And a lot of people instilled and really taught me a lot. But one DJ, you know, because I have a lot of people who looked out, but I only bring up this DJ's name because for the longest, I would not call myself DJ. I would not use DJ. I would use Herman Ham Group. And my man, Big Mo, okay, he would all the time say, dude, like, I've heard you play. Like, I've been at spots you at, dude. You're a DJ. You need to stop. And I would go, dude, this is Herman Ham Group. I swear, this is on our Facebook page where we're at. Until one day, I don't know what it was, but I did a party somewhere and put the video up. And he said, are you going to take that title now? I told you a DJ. And seriously, and I think I started using DJ Herman Ham after that. Mm-hmm. For the longest, it was Herman Ham Group. And I'm going to be honest, using the Herman Ham Group, I think, gets me more business because, like I said, I do uplighting. Mm-hmm. I do the dry ice on the floor, your name on the wall. You know, I do more stuff than just DJing. Mm-hmm. So I feel that DJ title gets lost with some people because I would do a wedding and they would have uplights or their name on the floor. And I say, oh, I could have did that for you. Oh, I thought you were just a DJ. Mm. So the Herman Ham Group makes them scratch their head a little bit. They think it's a 10, 15 people, you know, group. Oh, and then they see me show up by myself and they're like, oh, okay, I thought it was like.
But you're doing a job of 15 people.
Yeah, I'm doing a job of 15 people. So they would say, oh, I thought it was a whole bunch of you. So I just think that title and that, I love the title of my entertainment company. I'm about building brands, and being that my name is in the title, I, you know, love it even more. But yeah, Herman Ham Group. And, you know, when I'm out there, it's DJ Herman Ham, but Herman Ham Group is, you know.
It's doing its thing.
Yeah.
To this day. You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. It's your boy, Jose Candelario, here with DJ. King of the Club.
King of the Club.
Herman Ham Group.
Group.
Doing everything. We're winding it down to the end. Let's talk a little bit about professionalism. What does that mean for a person in business and the person that's been in business as long as you have?
So I'm going to tell you now, professionalism comes before everything. And really, to be honest, in anything you do. So, you know, I don't care how good you say I'm a DJ. If I'm showing up late, if I'm at your wedding not dressed properly, if your grandmother's there and I'm playing curse words in a song, that knocks my whole thing down. So really, it doesn't matter how good you are at DJ. You got to have professionalism. I take that serious. Contracts, talking to people, finding out what they want. You know, because early on, you know, I've made little mistakes, and then I say, you know what, I got to change that. You know, I got. So, you know, you have to be professional. You have to meet with people, know what they want, because with me, I don't necessarily play for me. You're playing for that customer, that client. So I just had an event recently where the young lady gave me what she wanted. She said, you know, I want a mixture of Prince and Michael Jackson. I want 30 minutes of this, or I want 40 minutes of that. I don't like line dances. I want, you know, and she thought like, you know, I hope I'm not irritating you. And I'm like, no, because I'm here to play what you want. You know, I'm here to play for you. I'm not here to, okay, well, this is my thing. Let me come in and just play. I ask people when I'm coming to them, what genres you like, you know, what eras, what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear. And I mean, this lady was to the T. She was like a person who gave me instructions. I followed those instructions. And to this day, she said, you're worth every penny. Because I'm talking about to the point where she was like, I don't really like songs that play out. After two and a half minutes, 3 minutes, going to the next song on anything. And I followed it to a T. So that's, to me, even when it comes to promoting parties, you got to be professional. People are coming to your parties. They want to hear the DJ. They want the speakers to sound good. And you got to pick the places you go to. Because let me tell you, if you go pick a place and, you know, hey, I try to go get a drink, they don't have my this or that. They don't have what's on the menu. You know, so you got to make sure even the places as a DJ or a promoter, you pick the proper places. So that's how I've always been, even back to Club East, doing the parties all the time. And that actually, Club East is the birth of the all-white party. Mm. Club East was the birth of that.
Wow.
I probably did the first 7 or 8 white parties at Club East.
You do have an all-white affair, don't you? That comes up. When is it coming up?
Yo, let me tell you. The white party, oh, man, June 22nd.
Already talking about it. June 22nd.
Yeah, 6 p.m. to midnight. We're on the 14th annual. And like I said, this party started back in Club East. You know, I had this big attraction to what P. Diddy was doing, because he had the white party out on the island, out in New York, you know. And so, man, I just said, I was doing birthday parties for years, and then I said, you know what, I think I want to change it to an all-white. And it just took off and had its own identity, way different than when I was just having birthday parties. So Club East has started. Shout out to Terminal 110. I did Terminal 110. I had it there for several years. The Russian Lady downtown New Haven, the Omni 1 year, and for the past 2 years, now going on 3, the one and only, the luxurious Toyota Oakdale Music Theater, man. The hospitality there is good. You go in there and everything's laid out the way you want it. It's coming up June 22nd. There's info on my website, you know, hermanham.com. You know, there's tickets on Universe, and then we got physical tickets we're selling. So I'm, you know, proud. You know, shout out to everybody who not only have supported me all these years, but this white party, people plan their vacations around it. I have people call me, I'm going on vacation in June. When's the white party? You know, I have other promoters who I respect, that respect me, that say, when's your white party? Because, you know, I just don't want to bump heads with you. You know, I want to make sure I'm at your party. I'm going to do my party on another date. So, you know, there's so much love I get just from people who support me, from promoters and from these club owners, from my sponsors. There's people who hang banners up in my party. There's a ton of sponsors. We got Broadleaf Cigars. We got a cigar station on the patio. 2-3 photographers, a list of DJs. I don't know if we have time to mention them.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we got time.
Listen, I've had people I've dealt with from day one. So shout out to Ron and Dane, Hartford, Connecticut. They've been there from day one. Rashawn Langley Project is the live band. DJ Juan Kuhn, he's in one of the rooms. He's in the Xfinity Lounge. DJ Rawls, who I've had down for the past 3 or 4 years, because I said, you know, we got a lot of the old school people. Let's do something, you know, for the mid, you know, younger people. And he turns up. He's in the Hartford Health Room, DJ Rawls. I've moved around with different DJs on the patio. Last year was Platinum. Shout out to DJ Platinum. this year, DJ Craig G, he's on the patio. So, you know, the sounds are provided by Super Joe out of Hartford. Shout out to Juan Castillo. He's hosted, the white party. You know, shout out to YBC. I got to throw that in there because they support the event. I do advertisement with them. We give out free tickets on the radio. Make sure you listen to 94.3 WYBC. Mm-hmm. We got the free tickets on the radio. So, you know, it's just, you know, a lot of people have showed me love with this white party.
And as you know, with events, Junior's right around the corner.
It's right around the corner. And this is the Super Bowl of, you know, I stopped doing all of these parties all year long. I might do a sneaker ball in an all black, but the white is the Super Bowl. This is my Super Bowl of events. You play all year long. You mm-hmm. do little things. The white party is a Super Bowl for me.
And on Friday nights, we can catch you where?
Lennon's. Shout out to Lennon's, Jack and Joan. Let me tell you, I mean, because when I started this entertainment company, it was just to do private events. Mm-hmm. Back 9 years ago, a friend of mine, Tarnisha, she was having a comedy show mm-hmm. at Lennon's. She called me up. Hey, come here, DJ my comedy show. Mm-hmm. I went there and DJed the comedy show. Lennon's heard me DJ. They said, hey, we want you to do our happy hour. 9 years later, I'm still there doing their happy hour on Fridays. And then my boy, shout out to Terry, Terryoki. He mm-hmm. does the karaoke. Mm-hmm. After I DJ the happy hour, he does karaoke there. So, you know, I love that family. We, you know, this the end of this summer will be 10 years at Lennon's.
I just want to thank you for providing a safe spot for the grown and sexy here in New Haven with yeah. a good vibe and being a constant professional at your craft.
Thank you.
You converted me. I'm a super Herman Ham fan.
Listen.
You're going to see me at your events.
Shout out to you doing your thing now with the electric drum. You know, I followed you, you know, through comedy, through other things. So shout out to you doing your thing. I'm proud of what you're doing. I'm trying to support when I can, but I DJ so much. Mm-hmm. So don't blame it on my heart.
No.
My heart is in the right place, but a lot of people, I DJ a lot. So I don't make a lot of people's events. I see them on Facebook, you know, different events you're doing, but you know, I'm so busy. I don't make them, but you know, I see them and, you know, really in support and try to share flyers, but really proud of what you're doing. Shout out to the electric drum, you know, you're doing your thing. I've catched your interviews, so, you know, definitely shout out to you too, WYBC family.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for sharing your story. It's very inspiring. This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario, and we just heard the king of the clubs, DJ Herman Ham from the Herman Ham Group.
Yes.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.